Have you ever wondered what the cross means to Christians? Hello, I'm Phil Sanders, and this is a Bible study in search of the Lord's way. And today we're exploring the power that comes from the blood Jesus shed for us.
In all the hurry and hustle and confusion of modern living, the Lord has the way. We believe that the Bible is the revelation of His way. We invite you to join us in search of the Lord's way with Phil Sanders.
Welcome to In Search of the Lord's Way. We're here to search the Scriptures for God's will. The Scriptures contain God's revealed Word. The Scriptures help us to know God our Father and His will on a much deeper level. It helps us to see the surpassing love and kindness He grants to us each day. It reveals what the sacrifice of Christ on the cross can do for us. We are all in desperate need of the Word of God so that we may see the truth from God's point of view rather than imagining faulty notions. Thanks for taking time with us today. We'd love to hear from you, and we want to be a part of your life each week. We cannot speak about Jesus Christ and ignore His death upon the cross. It's not enough to say that He died an agonizing death. We must realize that He chose to die for us. Now, saying Jesus died for us doesn't say all that we need to know. He died for us because He loved us. His love for us on the cross, however, points to our desperate need for His death. Our sins separate us from God and doom us to the wrath of God. He lovingly died for us because without His blood, we cannot have forgiveness of sins or a relationship with our Father in heaven. Hebrews 2 and verse 9 says, "But we see Him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone." My friend, don't think the blood of Jesus Christ is for others, but not for you. Jesus died for you, and His blood can forgive your sins, just as it can for everyone who loves and obeys Him. Now, we offer this study on the blood of Christ free. If you'd like a printed copy and live in the United States, mail your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call our toll-free telephone number. That number is 1-800-321-8633. We also have many free programs and materials on our website, searchtv.org. You can also see us on YouTube. We'll now worship in song, read from 1 Peter 1:17 to 21, and see the value and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Jesus, I can say.
reading today comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 to 21, and they tell us to take so very seriously the blood that Jesus shed for us and what it means to atone for our sins. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Oh, Jesus has done so much for us in shedding His blood. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful that our Lord Jesus was willing to pay the ultimate price of shedding His blood so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. Father, help us to conduct our lives with respect and with fear for what You have done for us, and help us to always love You and serve You. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Hebrews reminds us that blood is necessary to atone for sin. Hebrews 9:22 says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The reason blood is necessary is because our life is in our blood. Leviticus 17, verse 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement." This is why Jesus had to give His life for us, His sinless and righteous life found in His precious blood. His sacrifice led to our atonement. We are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 7 says that in Him, that is Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Redemption is a big word. It implies the need for a redeemer, someone who could save us from our captivity or enslavement, that is from sin, from which we couldn't save ourselves. Sin does enslave, and without the blood of Christ, there is no chance at redemption. Sin creates a debt greater than we can pay. We need the Lord to redeem us. In Matthew 20, 25 to 28, the Lord Jesus called His disciples to Him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Well, how did Jesus ransom or redeem us? What price did He pay for the sins of the whole world? Well, 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19 reminds us, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." The redemption we have in Christ was not paid with silver and gold. That would have cost the Lord nothing. The Lord spoke a word and created the world. Silver and gold are nothing compared to that. The Lord could say a word and fill a stadium full of silver and gold, but it wouldn't cost Him anything. Instead, the Lord Jesus redeemed us with His own blood. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24 reminds us, "And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed." Jesus sacrificed His righteous and spotless body and His blood to redeem us. And by His wounds we are healed of sin. Jesus suffered many personal wounds. He was unfairly condemned, beaten more than once, and scourged even before He was crucified. They spit on Him and mocked Him. He bore a crown of thorns, stripes on His back and chest from the scourge, nails through His hands and feet, and a spear in His side that brought forth blood and water. Yes, Jesus paid the ultimate price to redeem your soul from sin and save you. The blood of Jesus cleanses the lost sinner. Paul reminded the Corinthians of their past sins and how the grace of God forgave them in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such," he says, "were some of you," speaking of the Corinthians, "but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." God washes us from our sins by the blood of Christ. In Revelation 1:5, John spoke of Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. "To Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood." God washes away our sins when we're baptized into Christ. In Acts 22:16, Ananias told the chief of sinners, Saul of Tarsus, "And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." Now some object to this washing away of sins in baptism because baptism takes place in water and think this is not the blood. But they miss an important point. Romans 6 and verse 3 helps us understand. The truth is always in the Word of God. Romans 6 and verse 3 says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death?" Jesus shed His blood when He was crucified. If baptism in water puts us into Christ, and then baptism into His death puts us into contact with the blood, too. Verses 6 to 7 say about baptism, "Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin." Now, to the Christians who sin, the Apostle John said in 1 John 1, 7, "But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, walking in the light doesn't mean that we must live perfectly sinless lives. No. If we could be perfectly sinless on our own, we wouldn't need the blood of Jesus. And 1 John 1, verse 8 makes it clear that if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Again, verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Living perfectly sinless lives is beyond us all. We need the blood of Jesus. Walking in the light means focusing our hearts and lives on following Jesus. But we still stumble in sin. And when we stumble in sin, what do? We repent of our sins and we confess them. 1 John 1, verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did you notice the phrases all sin in verse 7 and all unrighteousness in verse 9? When God cleanses us from sin, He cleanses us from all of them, even the worst of them. He doesn't forgive some and then leave others unforgiven. The blood of Christ cleanses or frees us from all sin. Now, the idea of all sins being forgiven is not a new one. God spoke to the Jews who had sinned in Ezekiel 33, 14 to 16. But when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and he turns from his sin and practices justice and righteousness. If a wicked man restores a pledge, pays back what he has taken by robbery, walks by the statutes which will ensure life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he has committed will be remembered against him. He has practiced justice and righteousness. He shall surely live. Now, God has always wanted people to turn from sin and to live with Him eternally. He wanted us to belong to Him, to love and serve Him. He wanted us to be reconciled to Him. And we're reconciled by the blood of Christ. When we sinned against God, even the first time, we broke our loving relationship with God. Isaiah 59, 1 to 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor His ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. Sin separates us from all God's blessings and promises. Now, we often lose sight that our God is a holy God who is sinless and doesn't approve of our sins. Sin is offensive to God. Psalm 5 and verse 4 says, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. James 4, verses 3 and 4 is even stronger. He says to the Christians, he says to them, you ask and you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, 23, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him and we'll come to him and make our abode with him. Now, God and Jesus make their home with those who love God enough to keep his commandments. Now, God will not surround the person who is rebellious and lawless. No. Sin causes for us a desperate need for a Savior to atone for our sins. The word atone came from two old English words, the word at and the word one. We aren't one with God as long as we have unresolved sins in our lives. The purpose of forgiveness and atonement is to reconcile us to God. God doesn't want to be angry at us. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. And reconciliation simply means restoring our broken relationship with God. The Apostle Paul explained in 2 Corinthians 5, 19 to 21, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. God wanted you back as one whom He could love and save, so He sent Jesus to suffer for you. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous." Why? That He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. The one who knew no sin was made to be sin on our behalf so that we could become righteous. The unrighteous become righteous because Jesus paid a great price to reconcile us to God. Now, when you're God's child in Christ, God will hear your prayers. Ephesians 2, 12 to 13 reminded the people of Ephesus who were Gentiles and far away from God, and you may feel that way sometime. He said, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, when you come to Him, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." We may have once been separated from hope and from God, but now we're God's children because of the blood of Christ. And God can help us overcome the consequences of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. When the blood of Jesus is applied to our souls, it ensures our forgiveness. It draws us close to Christ. It makes us children of God, and it opens the door to our heavenly inheritance. When we have life in Christ, it is newness of life, an abundant life, an eternal life. The blood of Christ opens every blessing and promise of God, and though it is through the grace of God found in the blood of Christ that we become those children of God. My friend, are you washed in the blood? Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we know that we could not be saved if it were not for Your grace and mercy that acted through the blood of Jesus and for this forgiveness that comes from Him. Help us, Father, never to take for granted and to presume upon Your grace, but to turn our hearts from sin and to serve You always. In Jesus' name, amen. The blood of Christ should have the same hold on our hearts and souls as it does on the heart of God. It should mean everything to us because shedding His blood at Calvary meant everything to Jesus. Our hearts will never find peace and rest without acknowledging the blood of Christ. You cannot be forgiven and have eternal life without His blood. As Christians, we must live as the redeemed, remembering the price paid for us by the blood of Jesus. We can know God's love and eternal blessing because of the blood of Christ. Now, we can't separate the atoning blood from the divine person who sacrificed it. Do you care that the Lord Jesus shed His blood for your sins? Has it made a difference in your thinking or your behavior? When we consider the awful, painful, horrible death that Jesus died for us, how can anyone be apathetic? His shed blood makes Christ's love for us real and meaningful. Has it pierced your heart the way it pierced the hearts of those at Pentecost? Does His death make you think of your sins any differently? Have you ever grieved about your sin? Now, if you're guilty and grieving about your sins, the answer is in the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness can turn a guilty conscience into a clean conscience. Acts 2:38 tells us to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. 1 Peter 3:21 says that baptism now saves you, not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for what? An appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, baptism into Christ and His death where His blood was shed, Romans 6:3, is how we contact the blood of Christ and appeal to God for a good conscience. We hope today's study about the cross and about the death of Jesus and His blood has helped you to see its value and to turn away from the lies of men. If you live in the United States and you want a free printed copy, send your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edwin, Oklahoma, 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call the Search office toll-free at 1-800-321-8633. Now, there's a schedule of our programs and a map of churches in your area at searchtv.org. And you can watch Search on YouTube anytime. Subscribe to our channel, Search TV Ministry, and like the programs. We also offer free Bible correspondence courses. Now, don't worry, we're not asking for money. We're here to help you get to heaven, to draw close to God. Show God your love by worshiping at church. You need a church family. And if you can attend, don't neglect worshiping at church. There's probably a Church of Christ near you. And if you're looking for a healthy biblical church home, we'll gladly help you find one. We'll be back next week, Lord willing. So keep searching God's Word with us. Tell a friend about this program. As always, we say, God bless you and we love you from all of us at In Search of the Lord's Way.